Hello and welcome to the Dune Minute Podcast, your place to dive deep, minute by minute, into the cinematic adaptation of Frank Herbert's World of Dune. I'm one of your hosts, John.
And I'm Zach.
And we are back. It is a new week of the Dune Minute. How you doing?
I'm fine, man. Feel a little tired.
Yeah.
Before we hit record, we were talking about sheds. Basically a whole episode.
Yeah, pretty much.
Talking about this shed that we were planning. But I'm a little wore out from doing all that stuff yesterday out in the yard. But today's good. My voice is a little bit nasally just because of general springtime allergies.
Sure.
But hey, we're here. We're doing it. How are you doing?
This past week was interesting for me. I spent most of it sick with a really high fever. So I'm on the recovered side of things, but still a little bit of some brain fog and stuff, but sure. Otherwise pretty good. Went up to a wedding this past weekend, so I've been enjoying the silence of not having children screaming around me.
I was about to ask, was it an open bar? Because that's the only way that I go to a wedding as a guest.
But it was, but from what I heard, because I don't drink, but from what I heard, the drinks were weak as fuck.
That's so, a damn shame.
Yeah.
Damn shame.
Yep. What are you going to do?
I've been to so many weddings that I do not care to go to them. I've been in so many weddings. I do not care to go to them anymore unless it's an open bar. And I realize that may be a selfish thing, but I have to get something out of it.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly fine with celebrating someone at a party in a backyard.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool.
I was just going to say, like, if I ever get married, it's going to be a courthouse and then like someone's backyard, or, you know, just rent something, barbecue, kind of like keep it easy, keep it chill kind of situation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's all you need. I understand that people want the pomp and circumstance, and if you want that, you're entitled to it.
Yeah, more power to you.
It ain't for me.
That's not my vibe at all.
Well, what is your vibe, John? Are you...
My vibe is the deserts of Arrakis.
Are you one to just hunker down and get your sand snork out?
All right. God damn it. Yes. I'm just sitting there breathing through my sand snorkel as Muad'Dib is digging into the sand around it.
Well, let's get into this week. We are talking about minute 35 through 36 today, and it starts and ends with different levels of inspection.
All right. That's it. You said you had some zingers.
I had some. I put a little time into it. They're not all good, but hey, we'll get there.
All right. But yeah, as we in a shitty transition alluded, we are still with Muad'Dib digging into the sand around the base of this snorkel that's, you know, sticking out.
Mm-hmm.
And
important to note that it's not snorkel, it is sand snork.
Art and Soul says sand snorkel.
Well, the Dune Encyclopedia says sand snork.
All right.
So I don't know where Art and Soul falls in our list of canonicity.
I think it is
for the movies, probably.
For the movie, it's probably the most accurate, considering it's written by Tanya Lapointe, who is one of the producers on the movie. So,
all right, well, I'll accept both versions. How's that?
But yeah, so Muad'Dib's just kind of messing around with the sand, and this is one of those instances of audio or of dialogue that was written strictly for the movie, where, you know, the Fremen that's under the sand is kind of shifting, and we just hear, "Hey, get out of here.
Get out of here. Go on, scram.
Scram.
Scram. Get out of here." Yeah, that was... I think we talked a lot of it in the last movie about, and some in this one, I believe, about how some dialogue kind of takes you out of the movie.
What are you guys talking about?
Yeah. You good? this is another one, but
we're going to have a couple of those this week.
Yeah, we will. But it's, it's fine. They bother me less and less as we progress through these. It's whatever.
It's a fun little, you know, hey, get out of here, yeah, kind of thing. As if a desert mouse would necessarily give away this snorkel that's, you know, sticking out of the sand.
Yeah, I mean, there's a good 6 to 8 inches of the snorkel sticking out of the ground.
Yeah.
I want to take a second to talk about sand snorks.
Okay.
So we don't get, I think this is the only time that we see them in the movie.
Yep.
So we don't get a whole lot of time with them, but they're really a kind of a cool invention. Not a Fremen specific invention, but the Fremen are the most notable users of the sand snork. The encyclopedia has a whole article written, or whole section, mm-hmm, written on these. And basically what I took from it is a small air pump at the base of a tube that has a bunch of smaller tubes contained within. So a bunch of nested tubes together. And
not unlike the internet.
It is a series of tubes. You're right. These tubes are filled with, it says, pressure sensitive seals. And they're, like, there's oil in between them, and they're pressure sensitive. So where if you go underground and the pressure from the sand around it is higher than a certain atmospheres of pressure.
Sure.
I believe it's like one. Yeah, it says 1.26 standard atmospheres. It pushes the inner tubes up until the pressure is equalized.
Okay.
So it is basically like those lightsabers that you had as a kid, where you flicked it and it extended. Yeah, yeah. It is basically those.
Oh, cool.
But you can go down. I think it's like something like 3 or something meters is the maximum depth.
Oh, holy shit. All
right. Yeah, it's a lot. And you know, if you deploy your sand snorkel, then it just shoots up until the top ring, however deep that may be, equalizes in pressure, and it just stops there. And then the air pump at the bottom kicks in to circulate air. Genius. Genius little invention. I know it's made up. I know it doesn't exist in real life, but that's really fucking cool.
I mean, we've talked about it before, but the science fiction here is definitely seemingly rooted in more science than fiction.
Yeah. Yep.
Some of it, that at least. the mechanisms that are being used.
Yeah, those are on the fiction kind of side, but well, I don't know. Maybe.
Well, no, I mean, like, the mechanics of the snorkel is definitely something that is probably pretty, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if something like that is in use now.
All right. That'd be cool. If you know of any pressure sensitive sand snorkels on the market, let us know. It does note that there is a butterfly valve at the top of the snorkel,
mm-hmm,
that prevents sand from getting in and like down the tube, which is what we see in the movie here, a sense of it.
Yeah, the one we see in the movie, it almost looks like the mesh that you have in front of speakers.
Yeah, yeah.
But you have like a couple layers of that, and it's like crisscrossed with each other, so that way the, mm-hmm, sand obviously can't just get in the snorkel,
right,
or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's really cool to see the sides of it, you know, go in on the inhale and, you know,
mm-hmm,
kind of bow out on the exhale and everything. So
yeah. And it's kind of a serene feel that we get right now. You get the little Muad'Dib sniffing on the snorkel. We get the, hey, get out of here. And it's kind of quiet until it's not.
Until it is very not.
Yeah. So what do we get in the background here?
Yeah, we get the descent of Harkonnen Spice Harvester 2.0.
2.0. What do you mean by that?
Yeah. So one of the notable things, and a lot of my stuff for this week is going to be coming from Art and Soul.
Good, because I have zero book notes for this week.
Yeah, I was going to say, there's not much from the book to talk about here. So I went back, and this is also pointed out in Art and Soul, but if you go back and you watch the first couple minutes of Dune Part 1, we see the same general shape for this Harkonnen Spice Harvester. However, the mechanism by which the spice harvester in this new movie, as it descends from the carryall, which is the same carryalls that we mm-hmm. saw in Dune Part 1.
Yep.
Though I will say that the hot air balloons have much better CGI this time around than they did before.
Bigger budget.
Yeah. The spice harvester descends. It lands on the ground. We get the super wide aerial shot where we can see the carryall's what I would assume are magnetic clamps, you mm-hmm. know, releasing, and it begins to fly away. And then we see these, what I would call tendrils. The Art and Soul calls them spikes.
I said like rake teeth.
Yeah. Baleen teeth.
Sure.
We see these baleen, you know, rakes or whatever begin poking at the ground, right?
Yep, which makes no sense to me.
So, Art and Soul talks about this.
Oh, cool.
In Dune Part 1, instead of having these rakes poking into the ground and everything to kick up spice, what it was using was, you know, those giant excavation wheels that you see on like super heavy machinery in mines.
Are you talking like tunnel boring machines? Or are you talking about the
like, I'm talking about, it's on a crane that's on like ground level, and it's on a wheel that has buckets in it, and the wheel spins and the buckets just like completely tears the earth out the side of the mines. I'm talking like quarry mine kind of
right,
stuff.
Right. Okay. Yes, I do. That is called, very imaginative, a bucket wheel excavator.
Yeah.
BWE.
So the Harkonnen spice harvester in Dune Part 1 has two of those at the front that are facing each other. The buckets are facing each other and they're both spinning opposite directions. So like one is spinning clockwise, one is spinning counterclockwise
mm-hmm.
toward the middle to like just kick up dust and everything.
Gotcha. And I'm assuming there's some kind of vacuum system probably after that.
Yeah.
Okay.
We don't get a lot of additional information in here about that one, but they just decided to go with this other mechanism here. And there's no particular reason why they say they did that. They just mentioned that that was a production change that was made.
Okay.
I think, probably cheaper to do.
It looks fucking cool.
Yeah, it looks cool. But also, as we'll see later, it adds a bit more of a sense of
danger.
Danger, Will Robinson.
Yeah, exactly. So this is a good segue into a point that I had in my notes.
Mm-hmm.
Did we ever get to the bottom of the design difference between the harvesters? So here's where my thought came from. When the Atreides got to Dune,
mm-hmm.
Got to Arrakis, they said that the Harkonnens left them damaged equipment. Now, the harvester that we saw in the first movie is mm-hmm. a vastly different design from this. So I assumed that was one that was left from the Harkonnens.
We had talked about this because okay. we had talked about how it had a like colloquial name that was given to it by workers.
It was like Old Betty or something.
Yeah. Something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. We've just seen a couple of different designs of harvesters, and I don't know why they go back and forth so much. I mean, clearly to say this is an Atreides operation, this is a Harkonnen operation. Yeah, I understand that part.
I think that's it, is to clearly like designate like, hey, all this weird bug shit is Harkonnen.
Fair.
And then like all the more, you know, militaristic design, more like hard angles is Atreides kind of stuff. So.
Okay. That's easy.
I think we had also like, I remember asking you, I think, like if this was if you thought that this was potentially stuff from before the Harkonnens, because at this point the Harkonnens had been harvesting spice on Arrakis for, it was like, what, 80 years or 80 something years, like yeah. that. So like it could have been machinery that was even older than yeah, them.
That's true.
Because Kynes goes so far as to say, like, this is really old machinery that you guys are using here. Yeah. So.
Fair enough. Fair enough. You know, just given the timelines of the Atreides, you know, taking control of Arrakis, I didn't feel there was a lot of time for them to manufacture.
They wouldn't have manufacture. Time to build.
No. Yeah. Yeah. So, okay, cool. Well, I think that's talked about enough there.
Yeah. But yeah, I kind of want to go back to the actual minute itself and mm-hmm. go through the whole sequence, because you kind of threw me.
I know. I'm sorry. Sorry.
Threw me for a bit of a loop there. But yeah, so this harvester, you know, begins slowly descending, lands with a really loud thud, which sound design. Fucking.
So good.
Oh, good headphones. If you have an opportunity, just like watch this movie with either like a really good home theater or really good headphones, at least, because mm-hmm. just, oh, you get that good amount of bass in there.
Sure.
Beautiful. The tracks hit the ground first, but then we see these six spider like legs hit.
Yeah.
And we don't really see those either in the harvester from Dune Part One.
No.
But in fairness, we only see almost like a, I don't want to say like a complete silhouette, but it's definitely way more dusty in Dune Part One. So we can't see like all the details that we would want to.
Yeah. Well, they got to hide the CG.
Yeah.
inside of things.
Also, one thing I thought was interesting was that in the beginning of Dune Part One, Chani says that at night, the Harkonnens come out to harvest spice.
Mm-hmm.
Yet all the times that we've ever seen spice harvest being done is in the daytime.
Yeah, sure, sure.
Curious.
Very curious. So we get some ornithopters, and we also get some more goons. We
more got goons in the desert. We're back gooning in the desert.
These are some dry goons. Out for just a good old fashioned dry gooning session with guns. Yeah. they got some guns and they're scanning the desert.
Goons with guns?
Goons with guns, yeah. The worst type of goon.
Be careful of accidental discharge.
Hey. Some more indecipherable Harkonnen language comes across, and we are not blessed with subtitles.
No. We're not blessed with subtitles. I don't think much, if at all, of Harkonnen language.
Very
briefly. At least there wasn't a lot in Dune Part One, I don't think, other than like, maybe
like we get stuff over the radio.
Yeah,
that's it though. We don't
actually
see
no. The stuff over the radio in Dune Part One wasn't translated for us. If you're talking about like when Paul and Jessica are getting taken,
was it
away.
Not? I thought it was.
Mm-mm.
Yeah, we hardly ever see it spoken, like see the words coming out of someone's mouth.
Yeah, well, they're more just guttural noises.
Right. That would be a very hard thing for an actor to do. So yeah, then we get the rake, the teeth start pounding on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
It's super insect-like. It's like, I couldn't figure out exactly what insect this looked like, but it invoked such a strong feeling of just bug.
Well, Tanya LaPointe wants you to know, in Art and Soul, bug was the influence.
Okay, good.
In case you couldn't tell by the everything about Harkonnens, bug.
What's the theme here? I'm just going for a general bug theme.
Bug and beetle.
Yeah. I have some notes for tomorrow's minute that I'm going to go ahead and say here because we're talking about the look of this harvester.
Okay.
It looks so much like the, again, harvesters that we see in The Matrix, where they're, you know, picking the pods up, the little people pods.
Yep.
It looks very similar to that.
Probably should have looked and see it, looked to see if any of the like concept artists or designers also worked on The Matrix.
Oh, yeah. Well, maybe we'll do some research in between episodes, maybe. Nah, that's a big no. But it also, and I think this might be another pretty strong analogy here, it looks like a T4 bacteriophage.
Fucking nerd.
Are you familiar?
No.
Why don't you give that a goog real quick, and you'll see what I'm talking about.
A little bit of a goog?
Yeah, give that a goog.
All right, T4. Oh, yeah, I've seen these guys before.
Yeah, it's a classic bacteria drawing that we all saw in school, or I saw in school at least.
Looks more like a virus than the typical bacteria that you see in school, because viruses typically have always been described as having that like super geometric head with yeah. the tube and the legs and yeah. stuff. So
it invoked that imagery in me, which I think is intentional.
Maybe. It definitely looks, the harvester definitely looks like it, so.
All right, so I think we found some clear inspirations throughout the ages for these things. So, Harkonnen spice harvesters, bacterial bug harvesters.
With?
Viral bug harvesters, maybe.
Tendrils that poke at the sand to disrupt the spice on the surface.
Right, yep.
Instead of two bucket wheels.
And that's a pretty, I guess, you know, technology improves a little bit, even in the Dune universe. Not a whole lot, but
sure.
Technology does advance because the Dune Encyclopedia says that early harvesters were basically just giant vacuums out in the desert. Yeah, they just, you know, hoovered around.
Oh, God.
Yeah, so the last shot of this minute is the ornithopter circling above the harvester, inspecting it, looking out for something.
We do get a shot inside the ornithopter, though.
Yep.
Of a gunner who's just chilling there, you know, doing gunner things.
Oh, yeah. And we will get to know this door gunner a lot more.
Yes, we will.
Throughout the rest of this week.
While we're talking about ornithopters and this gunner, though, I have some notes from Art and Soul before we close out the minute.
Cool. Go for it.
Our view from inside the ornithopter was filmed inside a flying Blackhawk piloted by the Jordanian military.
Oh, that's cool.
Other aerial views were captured by other Blackhawk helicopters. These people that were operating the guns and everything obviously were actors, but like the pilots themselves were like kind of taken through a crash course just on how like the ornithopters fly and everything, so that they could as best as possible replicate ornithopter flight as compared to a helicopter's flight pattern and everything. So
I wonder, no, it wouldn't. I was like, I wonder if they set them down in front of Microsoft Flight Simulator, but that came out after because it has the ornithopter expansion pack.
Oh,
not to teach them how to fly a
helicopter. I was like,
no,
first God, of all, no. I think if you're putting these guys in Sims, they're doing way better than Microsoft.
I know that, but it has the ornithopter expansion pack that came out after the movie was released.
Yeah.
I'm not a fucking idiot, John.
Well, you know,
jury's out, I guess.
Yeah. Jury is out on that. And the other notable thing from Art and Soul, at least for this minute, I'm going to have a lot more later on in the week. But parts of this minute and parts of the rest of the minutes for the week as a whole were shot in Budapest, Jordan, and the UAE. So we're doing a lot of different shots in a lot of different places for this entire sequence this whole week.
That's interesting because it feels like it's a relatively small area that they're filming in.
The magic of editing.
Magic of editing. All right, cool.
Movie magic.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to learn more about it.
Yeah, we're going to have a... a lot to talk about this week, surprisingly for an action-filled week. But yeah, Art and Soul, I think it's like just for this sequence, like 12 or 14 pages.
Oh,
which,
yeah,
to put in comparison for other episodes, have been like a page or two. So there's a lot that they have to talk about with the production of this scene. So
nice. Good. Well, that's good information.
But I think that's all that I have.
Yeah.
What about you? Anything that's exciting?
Nope. I got some other stuff for the rest of the week, so let's get into it.
Alrighty. Well, we will see you back here tomorrow. In the meantime, you can find us online on Blue Sky. We are at DuneMinute.com. You can email DuneMinute@gmail.com if you'd like to get in touch with us as well. And we'll see you later.
See ya.